Hello, my name is Eli Tuckman, and thank you for joining me in our study of Mishnayos Maseches Shabbos. Mishnah Hay of the 24th Perek is the final Mishnah in Maseches Shabbos, and it finishes up assorted halachos. So we start with the halacha of Hafaras Nedarim. The halacha is, the Torah tells us, that a father is permitted to cancel the Nedarim, the vows of his daughter, who is under the age of 12 and a half, on the day that he finds out about the vow. Similarly, a husband can cancel some certain vows of his wife on the day he finds out about them. So the Mishnah says, Mefirin Nedarim b'Shabbos. This cancellation of vows by the father or the husband can be done on Shabbos. Why can it be done on Shabbos? Well, because you only have that day to do it. If you find out on Shabbos and you don't do the Hafarah on Shabbos, by the time it becomes Motzi Shabbos, you no longer have the right to cancel them, because it has to be on that day. Therefore, you're allowed to do it on Shabbos. Now, other Nedarim, that is, Nedarim that are made by someone who is not a girl under 12 and a half, or even the Nedarim of a wife that don't fall into the category of those vows that a husband can cancel, and of course, the vows that are made by the husband himself, that can't be canceled by anybody. So what happens if you make a neder and you realize that you made a mistake? Something happened to make you realize, oh boy, I really should never, I regret it. I never should have made this neder because I didn't realize such and such was going to happen. So you are permitted to go to a chacham, a rabbi who especially, who has smicha, not the kind of smicha we have now, the smicha from way, way back, who is able to then be matir nedarim. He's able to listen to your case and say, if he feels that it is correct, you know, I can see that if you had known such and such, would you have made the neder? And if you can authentically say, no, I never would have made the neder, then the chacham can say, okay, mutalach, I annul the neder from its beginning. It's considered to be an accidental neder, a mistaken neder, and it is not in force. So that is called She'elas Chacham. The Nish'alim, and it's something that's dealt with extensively in Maseches Nedarim, in Seder Nashim. So, V'nish'alin l'dvarim she'en l'tzarech ha'Shabbos. So with regard to Hafaras Nedarim, where you're going to a Chacham, excuse me, not Hafaras Nedarim, Hataras Nedarim, where you're going to a Chacham to ask him to release, to annul your vow retroactively. So you are permitted to do that on Shabbos only if the neder is impacting your observance of Shabbos. If it is not related to your observance of Shabbos, then you are not allowed to do that on Shabbos and you have to wait until after Shabbos. Halacha number three in our Mishnah is Pokekin es Hama'or. You are permitted to close a window, right? We discussed actually this in Perek Yud Zayin already. Windows in the time of the Mishnah were basically a hole in the wall. And they would close the window not by just sliding down the glass pane, which didn't exist, but by putting an object in the hole. Usually a piece of wood, a big board that would just fit and cover over the hole. But it really could be closed up with anything. You're allowed to close a window on Shabbos, and we don't say that that is considered some form of binyan, some form of bonet. So that's permitted on Shabbos. Halacha number four, umodidin es hamatlis ve'es hamikvah. Even though it is generally prohibited to measure things on Shabbos, you are permitted to measure for the purposes of a mitzvah. And the Mishnah gives us two examples. A matlis is a small piece of fabric. Now the halacha is that fabric is only susceptible to becoming tamei if it is three etzbaos square. Three fingers wide and three fingers long. So if it is that size, then it can become tame. So if there is a piece of fabric that is quite small, that is in that comes into contact with a source of tumah, so now you have to know if that fabric is tame or not tame. And therefore, you're allowed to measure it even on Shabbos to see if it is three tefachim square or not. And the second example in our Mishnah is the mikvah. A mikvah needs to have 40 se'in of water. And if that amount of water is diminished below 40 sa'ah, the mikvah is no longer kosher. And that's a very big problem because that means that anybody who dips themselves in the mikvah or any utensils that are dipped in the mikvah are still tamei, even though they think they are tahor. And therefore, it's very important to know if the mikvah is kosher or not so that people know whether or not they can use it. Even though most tevilos we don't do on Shabbos. There are tevilos that we do because we can't, we're not tolo kelim on Shabbos, for example. But there are tevilos we do on Shabbos, like tevilas mitzvah, many of which are not applicable today, but nida certainly is. And so that would take place on Shabbos. So it's important to know if the mikvah is of the right size. And the Mishnah now brings us a case, umaisa. When we have a case, we're demonstrating the halachos that we've previously mentioned. So the case here is actually quite complicated, and the Mishnah doesn't specify what it is. The Gemara elaborates, and the Rishonim have some discussion about how to understand that exactly. But the Mishnah, regardless, says umaisa b'mei aviv shel Rabbi Tzadok b'mei aba shel ben Badnis. This story happened in the time when the father of Rabbi Tzadok and Abba Shaul ben Butnis were the two great sages of the time, and they had to deal with the following situation. So the situation basically is there is a there are two houses next to each other, and there is a narrow path between them, and above the narrow path, on the roof between the roofs, right, balanced on the two roofs, is a very large basin, but that basin has a crack in it. And that basin with the crack in it is straddling the roofs and hanging over the path. Both houses have a window, and those windows align with where the vat is. And in one of the houses, there is a critically ill patient. So, what's the situation? What's the issue? Well, Tumas Meis, the tumah caused by a dead human body, transfers from place to place through openings that are one tefach square or larger. It also, they travel along a roof, under a roof, in every direction, unless there is an interruption of one tefach square. So one tefach square, both for the purposes of allowing tumah to transfer through and blocking tumah from transferring from one side of it to the other, one tefach square is the measure. So the concern here is that the patient in house number one is dying. He will be shortly dead. And the concern is about tumah going out the window of house number one, under the gigas, under the vat that is kind of forming a sort of roof between the two houses and in the window of house number two, so that the people in house number two, everything is going to become tame, and Kohanim can't go into that house. Furthermore, there is a second problem, which is the path itself, is that can that path now be walked on by Kohanim if there is tumah under the gigas? So, what did they do? First of all, shepakeku es hamaor batafiach. First, they closed the window with a ceramic bucket. They basically took a ceramic bucket and put it into the window so that the window was closed. Now, it doesn't have to be completely closed so no air can come in. It only has to be closed to the degree that there is no longer one tefach square opening for the tumah to enter with. So they closed the window of house number two, okay, by putting a bucket in it. That solves the problem for house number two, because once that bucket is in the window, even if the person in house number one dies, the tumah won't go into house number two because the window is closed. But we still don't know what the status is of the path. Is the tumah transferring under the path and under the roofs of house number one and two, if there's an overhang, right? House number one, we know it is. V'koshuas hamekeda bagemi. So they took another ceramic utensil and tied it onto a long reed. Leida imyesh bagigis poseach tefachim lav, in order to reach up and measure the crack in the vat, to see how wide the crack in the vat is. Because if the crack in the vat is one tefach wide, well, then that interrupts the tumah from transferring onto the path, or onto the parts of the path that are on the other side of the crack. And so they used this second vessel that was basically the size of one tefach square, tied onto a long reed to lift it up and measure to see the size of that crack. So umidivrehem lamadnu. So from this story and how the rabbis paskined at that time, we can see, first of all, shepokekin, that you're allowed to close a window on Shabbos because they used the ceramic bucket to close the window of house number two. Umodidin, and you're allowed to measure for mitzvah purposes, right? Because here it is for purposes of understanding what where tum is going to transfer or not. So this is absolutely mitzvah related. So they're allowed to measure because we see that it did measure using this the reed and the utensil that they tied to it, the kosherin, and you also can tie b'Shabbos on Shabbos. Again, the closing windows is unconditional. The measuring is conditional upon it being for a mitzvah, and we know that tying is also conditional, not upon it being for a mitzvah, but upon it being a non-permanent knot. And so we, from this story, we learn all of these halachos that we know to be true. And that brings us to the conclusion of Maseches Shabbos. Salik Maseches Shabbos. Mazel tov to all those who participated and completed in the study of Maseches Shabbos. 24 prakim is quite a large masechta, and we've been learning it for quite a while, and so it is quite an accomplishment. Mazel tov to all those who have completed. Our learning will continue shortly with Maseches Eruvin.